The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Glory America, bonjour, hi Canada, happy November 29th. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I certainly did. The Fetching Mrs. Hewitt did, surrounded by family, and everyone was together. I mean, some people are a little under the weather, and so we were more circumscribed in what we did. We had much joy and much feasting, and I hope you did too. I know a lot of you didn't. I know a lot of you had rough Thanksgivings. Look ahead, things can get better. The football fan in me had a rough weekend. Warren JFK Eagles dropped the state semifinal, Division 7 in Ohio. And then, of course, the Ohio State Buckeyes lost to Michigan. Happens every, you know, decade or so. Like the cicadas, the Michigan fans showed up, and they were very loud in my feed and online and et cetera. But congrats to the people up north. Coach Harbaugh finally got his win against Ohio State. Now we start another 9-year run, maybe improve on that one for the Buckeyes. And then the Browns, I was up late last night, had the last chance, couldn't pull it out. I think Baker Mayfield's the toughest football player I've seen since, well, Jerry Shirk. And that's a long time ago. That kid just plays and plays and plays. Not enough in the tank last night. They lost Jack Conklin again. Gosh, the Browns are injury bit. But it's one of those seasons. One of those years, and you build off of it. Browns aren't done yet, but they're close to done at 6-6. They might rally. They get a bye week. I'd just like to see them play some healthy football, and I don't even think that's possible. I'm saying a prayer for Jack Conklin this morning, and Kareem Hunt obviously wasn't at 100% last night. Oh, bad, bad football weekend. But, of course, the serious news is Omicron everywhere. Omicron is now in Canada as of this morning. More cases in Scotland and the U.K., Omicron is everywhere, and it's inevitable that it will be coming to a city near you soon, and then to your own town, and then sweeping down your plains or across your street, and people are going to go to the hospital, and some are going to die. The best thing you can do is go get the jab if you haven't gotten it yet. Put aside your hesitation. Talk to your doctor. Talk to people you trust. Listen to me. I've been vaccinated and boosted, as has Fetching Mrs. Hewitt. I'm not particularly worried about getting a breakout case because they've been very mild where I know they are. And though I'm 65, I'm in pretty good shape except for a broken toe. And unlike Aaron Rodgers, I will not play on this. I've been shuffling around, and we only had 4 or 5 collisions between it and Genghis Kate and others in the family circle over the weekend. But sharp jolts of pain, but generally, if I stay off my feet, it's fine. Broken toes are not the end of the world, as Aaron Rodgers showed yesterday when he beat the Rams. Will vaccine stop Omicron? I tend to believe Scott Gottlieb that looks like it. A lot of mutations in this. A lot of differences, small differences. It will evade some people. Maybe we'll have more breakout cases, but it does not appear to defeat the immunity response introduced by previous illness or the vaccine or both. Now, countries are responding very, very quickly around the world because they just... think psychologically, if no other reason, we can't deal with another shutdown. It won't be acceptable in the United States. It's not happening in the United States. Yet when I put up a picture of Michigan fans storming the fields with the, the tongue-in-cheek, as Governor Whitmer know about this, and 4,300 people like it, it's retweeted thousands of times. It was a tongue-in-cheek tweet. I don't know that I've had any non-political tweet ever go that far that fast. And it just reflects that people think it's absurd to try and regulate people's conduct at this point. Everybody knows what the options are. It's a free country. People have made their choices. We should not shut down schools. Teachers who are vulnerable should be furloughed. School boards can figure out whether or not to pay them. We should not shut down school. We should stop the crazy quarantining of students. Everybody has had a chance. They get vaccinated. Children are not affected by this greatly. You may want to get your child vaccinated. Talk to your doctor. Read everything. The CDC has failed again to communicate what to do about children who've already had COVID. My guess is most children in America, a majority have had COVID by now, but we don't know because the CDC doesn't do the right things. We still don't have a study. Still don't have a study on ivermectin, by the way. CDC is a complete failure. I think Tony Fauci, a complete failure yesterday. Getting into a political tussle about Ted Cruz with Face the Nation as opposed to being a doctor above the frame. Marcus Welby is dead. Dr. Fauci, just you're out of your lane. You're over your skis. England is introducing very, very strict Omicron restraints because they don't want another shutdown. And I looked this morning and European stocks are rebounding from a sell-off on Friday. I assume throughout the day we'll see the same thing in the United States. I do think more people will shop from home as this spreads, and it will spread like, you know, the famous question. If it takes a lily pod one day to reproduce and a pond is half full of lilies, how long will it take for that pond to be completely covered? One more day. That's exponential growth does that. So exponential growth of a new variant is coming your way. If it is deadlier than the other one, I'll let you know. But if you're unprotected, you're unprotected. And you know it. And it's really not the responsibility of the country to protect you anymore. You can protect yourself now. And the craziest thing I saw, well, first let me finish by telling you, Israel has banned airport arrivals. Right? They can't take buses and trains. Israel has sealed its borders. Morocco bans flight. As Omicron COVID fears rise. The craziest thing I saw is that an organ transplant, a vaccinated organ transplant candidate, was notified that their organ was there. And they got to the hospital. It's a Washington Post story by Brittany Shamus. All ready to go. I mean, they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. The donor doesn't want to get vaccinated. Free country, a donor is doing a great thing, giving up a kidney, and they called the whole thing off. Now, I don't get that. Donor is willing to go to the hospital and take the risk and give the kidney. Donor has been tested, doesn't have the virus, isn't infected, isn't going to infect the recipient. I must tell you, that's not a common sense decision. And Americans are a common sense conservative people. Just dumb. Just dumb. What is also dumb over at the front page of the Washington Post, you will find my new column. And I really wish you would send it to all your Democratic friends. I have been reading all weekend long the Build Back Better bill that emerged from the House, and it's an astonishing, disgusting growth of government. It's really bad. And by really bad, I mean really bad. And I told you about $200 million for Nancy Pelosi's neighborhood park, the Presidio. This week, I write about $3 billion for tree equity. You heard me right. $3 billion for tree equity. What is tree equity? Try finding that yourself without my help. Took digging for hours to find out someone who claimed parentage of the term. And that someone turns out to be American Forest, which is a redwood in conservation groups. Been around since 1875. They coined the term in the last 2 years. They were celebrating $36 million for tree planting in cities 2 years ago. And they're being given $3 billion. Not them. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. And write it down here. Joe Biden's not running for president again. I pray for the guy every day. He is quite frail, and it is very easy to see that. Kamala Harris, we've got British newspapers speculating she's going to be put on the Supreme Court to get her out of the way because her popularity is at 28%. Unelectable. So Democrats are trying to figure out what to do. Watch that Tom Vilsack over at the Department of Agriculture, the former two-term governor of Iowa, who could flip a red state that he had taken before back blue. And now they've given him $3 billion. Well, they haven't yet. This hasn't passed the Senate. I think Joe Manchin's got to stop this. When West Virginia sees $3 billion for tree equity, and that just means planting trees in cities, which do have some benefits, but $3 billion, you know what $3 billion can do? Is give the scholarships to kids. Get new schools open. Repair buildings. Feed the hungry. Shelter the homeless. Take care of people. Expand medical benefits for people. Do anything. Throwing money at trees in cities by people who won't know what they're doing. Tom Vilsack gets to give away $3 billion in tree grants if this passes. I expect, as I say at the end, that if we see seed money being sprinkled across the woody hills of New Hampshire or the low country of South Carolina or the bone dry Las Vegas, watch out. My prison fellowship Angel Tree campaign got off to a great start. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please be generous. Please be generous. Listen to one kid whose dad is in prison, Cassidy.
If you're thinking about donating to Angel Tree, it's a really good thing to do to contribute to us kids, because it'll make us feel special and make us feel like we're important in life, and it'll make us feel loved, you know? And everyone wants to feel loved. Thank you, Angel Tree, for helping me connect with my dad.
Makes me so true. So true. Just go to HughHewitt.com. The Angel Tree banner is at the top. $125 will help 5 children whose mom or dad is in prison this Christmas. Give the Christmas joy. We're in the Christmas season. Christmas music is back. Until after Christmas, stay tuned. You'll hear some when we come back to this morning's Monday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Kirsten Sinema is the subject of Selena Zito's latest column in the New York Post, and it's a terrific one. Selena joins me from Pittsburgh, also in mourning after a football loss this weekend, like the Browns. Good morning, Selena. Happy November 30th to you, 29th to you.
Good morning. Happy November 29th to you as well.
I am very beleaguered by the Browns' loss late last night to the Ravens. The Steelers got blown out. We are both not likely to go to the playoffs, though it's possible for the Browns. I don't think it's possible for the Steelers anymore. So you might be depressed, but I liked your cinema piece because I read a lot of the Build Back Better text this weekend. I'm up to page 800. It's a nightmare for Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been that diligent in reading it because, you know, I fall asleep. But I completely agree with you. There's so much in there. And you know, what's really interesting, I think, to me, here in Western Pennsylvania, the amount of ads being run by Democrat affiliate organizations, you know, the ones that would, you know, side with the Democrats, pushing them not only to vote for this, but also to make more amendments, to add more things. And I'm just sort of stunned watching these ads. You know, call Senator Casey. Make sure he adds this to Build Back Better. I'm like, oh, my
God. Well, when you read through it, it is a Christmas tree. And I have been taking notes. I could write columns all year on this thing. Today's column in the Washington Post on the front page right now. $3 billion for, quote, tree equity. Close quote, a new term coined by American Forests that was celebrating 2 years ago, $32 million in tree planting. What do you think Pittsburgh people think about tree equity?
Well, first of all, if anyone's ever been to Pittsburgh, we have a ton of trees.
Yeah.
We have an overabundance of trees. And I just don't get the word equity and justice thrown into everything.
Well, the tree equity is simply an excuse to give money to preferred groups. It's an environmentalist dream.
Yeah, and I suspect that's what the entire bill is full of.
When I get to the homeless sections, I've been going through it. There are billions. I think there's about $122 billion for homeless initiatives. And it's all discretionary spending, depending on who the HUD secretary wants to. But you know Tom Vilsack. Have you ever seen him on The Stump? Very effective Democratic.
I've interviewed him several times. He's from Pittsburgh. He was an orphan dropped off at the door when he was a baby.
Well, Tom Vilsack gets to spend this $3 billion. Tom Vilsack ran for president in 2008. Tom Vilsack knows Joe Biden isn't going to run again, knows Kamala Harris can't be elected. You give a politician $3 billion to give away? What do you think he's going to do? He's going to run again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. These are incentives. These are political ads almost to give you the ability to run forever for something.
Yeah, it'll be Tommy Appleseed, not Johnny Appleseed, when we're done. And he's going to $3 billion to a politician to give away. Can you believe that?
That's like giving a recovering alcoholic a bottle of Jack Daniels.
You just don't see that. A liquor store. That's what that is. It's not a bottle. Yeah. It's a liquor store. It's an ABC store. Yeah. So, Selena, in terms of mood in Pittsburgh, Omicron is coming. I'm curious. All of your relatives that you saw this weekend, all of your everyone either vaccinated or unpersuadable, have we reached a point where no one is moving anymore?
Within my circle, you know, everyone's pretty much settled. I know plenty of people that aren't who are not vaccinated. It doesn't tend to fall on party lines. It just tends to fall on this is where they're taking their stand, and a lot of their reasons are personal, and they're not going to. I don't think they're going to move from it. I think the persuasion is over.
Omicron would have to have a fatality rate far in excess of Delta to move anyone. But I do try and persuade. Did you hear over the Thanksgiving table any hectoring, any abuse of these people?
No, not at all.
Good.
Because if people aren't obsessed with it, as you find on the legacy news channels and or on social media, it isn't what drives conversations, in particular within families.
Selena, I got to ask you one last question about Waukesha. Is anyone covering the killer in your media world or around your did anyone focus on the killer?
No.
Why
in
not?
Terms of media, no.
Yeah.
In terms of media, no. In terms of people, absolutely. You know, this has been an abomination of the criminal justice system, how this was handled.
And we don't know much about a mass murderer who may have been conducting a hate crime. It's the oddest. I'm going to talk about it next hour. Have you fixed an opinion yet? Do you think it was a hate crime, Selena?
Yes.
Yes. Interesting. Selena Zito, follower at SelenaZito.com. My faithful friend from Pittsburgh in football hell with me. I'll be back, America. Don't go anywhere. Hour two of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Straight ahead. Morning, glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway live with Jake Sherman, editor-in-chief of Punch Bowl News. Go to punchbowlnews.com. Get a free daily email on what's going on inside the Hill. Jake, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Did you?
I did, thank you. It was very nice. I was in Washington with my family, my parents, my in-laws. It was very nice. I hope you did, too.
Yes, same. A large family gathering, the usual illnesses, and a two-year-old who could not be controlled. I think I share that with you. But in any event, Jake, I got to tell
you.
You know what? The two-year-old speaks in commands, and one must do what they say. Food time. Up, you know, that sort of thing. Jake, I spent Sunday after the crowd had dispersed reading Build Back Better, the House version. I mean, I'm at page 800 now taking notes. I've gotten two columns out of it. I could write columns forever. It's the most absurd thing, including my Washington Post column this morning is about $3 billion in tree equity, which is up to Tom Vilsack, a canny politician who's run for president before, to distribute if it gets through the Senate. How much are they going to carve out of this in the Senate? Salt deduction, tree equity, $122 billion for homeless funding. What's going to go?
So that's a good question. I think the major things that's going to go, Hugh, are not those things. I think the major things that are going to go are the big things that Manchin does not like. I mean, Pelosi has basically indicated, if you listen and you read between the lines, that the bill is pretty much set besides for some of these big provisions, which are obviously huge and quite influential, that Manchin is going to have problems with. So that includes expansion of Medicare, paid leave provisions, the SALT deduction stuff. I think the rest of it, the small stuff that people will pick at and will be kind of the stars of election season ads are going to stay. That's just my guess.
Now, I want to talk about the tree equity. This was invented 2 years ago by American Forest. They claim credit for it, at least, and that I've got the link in my Post column, which is over on the front page of the Post if people want to read it. I think that is going to be as bad as Nancy Pelosi's $200 million for the Presidio in the ads because it's so absurd a concept. It's just pork, Jake, and they're giving it to Tom Vilsack to distribute with no legislative direction other than increased tree canopy. Do you think that's going to get savaged in cities across the United States that don't get tree equity grants?
I think that I think that, yeah, I mean, listen, here's a good point. You make a good point here. Number one, and it's important. I have no idea what he's going to do is the short answer, but I will say this. The larger question about how the administration is going to administer this bill and where the money is going to go is a very interesting one. And frankly, we heard the other day, Mitch McConnell was in Kentucky. He was talking about the Brent Spence Bridge, which, as you know, is a big infrastructure project that's been at the wayside for a long time, connecting Ohio and Kentucky. McConnell said he hopes it's included in the spending under the infrastructure bill, but can't guarantee everything. Obviously, that's because we just don't know what's going to be in the legislation, right? We don't know what's going to be we don't know how the administration is going to administer some of this stuff. So I think that's a big question that you bring up.
Yeah, Jay, as a committed structural federalist, it's a lot of big words, meaning I really believe in the Constitution, that it works. The idea of giving this much money to the federal government along with, I mean, I've read through it page after page. You know, they'll give $122 billion for homelessness. Then they'll give a couple of billion to HUD to hire new people to distribute that money. It's a complete evisceration of state and local authority. And I can't believe Kyrsten Sinema will want tree equity and housing distributed by HUD. She's a good politician. So is Joe Manchin.
Yeah, I mean, but listen, you're talking about a problem that's been exacerbated over the last decade, right? Over the last 15 years, Congress has ceded its authority to the administration on nearly every issue going back for a long time. And this is just a continuation of that. And actually, Hugh, I would blame Republicans for this, and I'll tell you why. I know I just made a controversial point.
No, that's interesting.
But getting rid of earmarks is and let me put it this way. Getting rid of earmarks, ceding power on trade deals, ceding power on a whole host of issues set the stage for the administration to be a more powerful branch. Republicans did that. Democrats did that in some respects, too. But it's been all over the map, and it's been a problem going back for 10 or 15 years.
You are right. I actually would not object to $122 billion in homeless funding if they let cities decide and if they included religious groups, because there's obviously an urgent need on the West Coast. But $3 billion to Tom Vilsack. I got to ask you, Jake. I asked Selena this just last hour. Tom Vilsack has always struck me as a very good politician, very affable, very friendly, very open-handed, very approachable. I don't know that Nancy Pelosi intended to launch Vilsack 2024, but I read in the Telegraph in Great Britain yesterday that the Brits speculate Biden won't run again and that Kamala Harris is unelectable, so they need someone. They're going to put Kamala Harris on the Supreme Court. This is in the Telegraph in the United Kingdom, and go find somebody else. Why not Vilsack? At 70, he's a virtual baby compared to Trump and Biden.
Remember, Vilsack ran before, didn't he?
Right, well, 2008.
That wasn't really a successful venture. Now, I will say we have no idea what's going to happen in the future. I don't have any clue. I have no idea whether Biden's going to run again. I have no idea of any of this. I don't think that Vilsack is lining up for another presidential run. I would have to imagine his name ID is probably in the, I don't know, single digits or low double digits. So, I mean, their 2024 problem is a huge problem. I just think we're a long way away from that. And I think we have to, I don't see the two as being connected.
Well, I don't think they intended to. I just thought to myself, you give a guy who ran for president before and an Iowa guy who could flip a red state blue $3 billion to propagate whatever he wants to propagate. It's really just $3 billion block grant to Tom Vilsack. I've never seen anything like it, except over in HUD. Whoever is our secretary of HUD, Marcia Fudge, she's a Buckeye. She has enormous. She's got even, 100 times the power, 50 times the power that Vilsack has. It's an astonishing transfer of authority and spending from Congress to a couple of appointees. Let's talk about the president's problems. You know, the Republicans this weekend hit him pretty hard on the Sunday shows for promising to end COVID. And now we've got Omicron. What do they do, Jake? Dr. Fauci, whatever you think of him, and most of my audience doesn't think much, is out of effectiveness. He's out of gas. Now he's fighting with Ted Cruz about January 6th. Do you see how that's not public health?
I see how a fight with Ted Cruz is not about public health. I think, to be honest with you, Fauci has decided his posture, and he's going to, at this point, he's just going to let that play out, to be honest with you. That's my guess. But listen, I think this is going to be a major issue at the moment. I think that I don't think it's something that Congress is going to have to wrestle with. But you have Biden quoted back in the Trump administration saying that closing down borders is not the an answer. It's not the silver bullet stopping these things. So that is a very difficult thing to contend with at this point. And but I will say this, just as jobs numbers are beginning to look up, the economy seems to be in some respects picking up steam. According to some estimates, you're going to have this variant, which is we don't know the severity yet. But the administration, I think in some respect they're using this to try to boost boosters, right? I mean, I've gotten my booster. I think you have you too.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's their posture right now. Get the booster, add in protection. It's what you need to do, and that's where they've landed.
Yeah, but Jake, I'll press you one more time, and I'm going to follow. Everyone who wants to know what happens to Build Back Better, read Punch Bowl News every morning because Jake does a great job of this. Manchin and Sinema are popular in their states. They don't need Build Back Better for reelection. I don't think they're motivated by reelection. I think they're sincerely concerned about the misuse of this money. Do they have what it takes to say no to the entire left wing of their party?
No. Well, yes and no. Depends on what. I think on the big things they do, I think on some of the smaller things they don't. I think they're going to have their fights on the Medicare, on the Medicaid, on SALT, on paid leave. I think that's where their fights are. I think that's where they're going to take their ground.
Pause. I think SALT is popular and makes sense in Arizona, which has had rapidly expanding housing inflation. But if you spend $3 billion on trees for Arizona, it's not really a big deal. Kyrsten Sinema is going to run into that tree equity in 4 years. She, as is Mark Kelly, tree equity in Arizona. Where do you think that's going to get you?
There are not. That's a true fact that there are not a lot of trees in Arizona. That is probably a fair statement.
So anyone who runs against Mark Kelly, whether it's Brnovich or Blake Masters, I can just see Mark Kelly voted for $3 billion for blue cities in the east to plant trees. It's a suicide note is what it is, a political suicide note. Jake Sherman is covering the details every morning at Punch Bowl News. Thank you, Jake. Have a good first week of the holiday rush. I'll be right back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Stay tuned. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home, or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway talking to my 400 affiliates and reminding you of Matthew 25:40. Whatever you do to the least of these, you have done unto me. My friend, Commander Ken Hodder, joins me now. He is the National Commander of Salvation Army USA. Good morning, Commander Ken. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh. I'm doing great. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Now, Commander, the reason I asked you to come on this morning is that the red kettles are back. They're out. I want people to know what that does. You and I will be ringing a bell sometime this week. I'm going to limp over and find you with my broken toe. But tell me, tell the audience what the red kettle goes to.
The Red Kettle is all about serving people who need it. Right now, Hugh, we have people across the nation who are dealing with what we refer to as pandemic poverty. And that means that millions of people are still food insecure, millions of people are still at risk of losing their home, and millions of people are having to make terrible decisions between paying the light bill or providing Christmas gifts for their children, between paying the rent or buying food. And the Army wants to make sure that we keep people in their homes, that everybody has a great Christmas, and that there's food for all.
You know, Ken Hodder, when I go out, and the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I extend co-commander Hodder, the wonderful Jolene Hodder, a Merry Christmas as well. But when people go by those red kettles, and then they walk by a homeless person somewhere along the same street, they got to realize the connection. Don't give the money to the person who is homeless. Give the money to the Army, because you work with everyone, right? It doesn't matter what they believe. It doesn't matter what color, race, or age. You help them all.
Our mission is very simple, Hugh. Our mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and meet human needs in His name without discrimination. It doesn't matter to us where you're from. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin might be. It doesn't matter what language you speak. The Salvation Army, if you need help, intends to do everything we can to help you. And you're right. We work very hard to ensure that the money that goes right into the kettle stays in that community and helps the homeless people that you will see. We're eager to do everything we can, and we will always do everything we can to help.
Ken Hodder, how big is the homeless problem in the United States? I mean, to the naked eye in California, where you and I spent a lot of years. By the way, to my audience, Commander Ken is a double Harvard guy, Harvard undergraduate, Harvard law, big law, and then he found his vocation, went back to serve in the Salvation Army. What is the size and scope of this problem?
Well, the scope of the problem can be broken down into various categories. First, the unhoused homeless. Those are the individuals who are actually on the street. The numbers in that regard continue to go up. We have about 500,000 people across the country every night who have absolutely no place to stay. The second category that is even more of greater significance to us right now this Christmas is the number of people who are at risk of losing their homes, because we know that when a person loses their home, it is 2 to 3 times as expensive to get them back into that home. So we want to do everything we can, not only to help those who are on the street to get them off, but to help those who are in their homes stay right where they are.
Because I know you and because I know the Army, I know you folks are constantly working on the best interventions. What is the latest, in your view, on how to deal with the unhoused? I've been reading this book, Commander Hodder, San Francisco, about the terrible situation in the city by the bay when it comes to psychosis, drugs, and crime. How does the Army attempt to deal with a triple play individual who's got all these disabilities going against them?
It's an enormous challenge, Hugh. I think the best example of our approach right now is a program that we have going on in California called The Way Out. Our intention is to coordinate all of the activities in the state of California, not only internally, but with other organizations, to provide a complete set of programs that will not only get people off the street, but will help them recover from their addictions, will give them the training that they need, and will then be able to provide transitional housing for them to move forward. You have to look at this holistically. You can't just say that physical assistance is necessary. You can't just say psychological assistance is necessary. You can't just say that prayer and spiritual assistance is all that's necessary. God calls us to address every part of the human heart and the human body. So we intend to do that in all of our programs across the country to address this problem.
Are you and your officers ever overwhelmed, Ken Hodder? Because when I went down to Skid Row in February of this year with Judge Carter, it's an overwhelming problem, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
It is a huge task. I can't help but think of what Christ said, that the poor would always be with us. So there are many days that we find it an overwhelming task before us. But I have to say, Hugh, that when we have those moments of victory, when we see someone who recovers from their addiction, when we see someone who's able to stay in their home, when we see a child smile at a present under the Christmas tree, we know that that creates hope. And hope is the most powerful thing that we can provide to anyone, because apart from all of the assistance that we give, 20 years from now, we want that person to say, that was the moment that my life turned. That was the moment I felt that I had a future. If we can do that, then we've changed a life in a very real way.
So, Commander Hodder, how many red kettles are there? And give us a little bit. You've probably done this a million times. Tell us the brief history of the kettle so that modern America that may be out of touch with the Army and its mission and how those kettles came about, how they came to be on every street corner and every willing store.
Well, the Salvation Army Christmas Kettle is an American icon. It first started in 1891 on the docks of San Francisco. when this local Salvation Army officer decided that he wanted to help provide food for the sailors that were coming into the harbor. Well, the idea caught on in an astonishing way. And all across the country, people started to put out these little pots, and they used to say, keep the pot boiling, contribute so that we can continue to help people. Well, that simple fundraising exercise has now become the largest fundraising exercise of its kind in the world. Last year, it raised $120 million across the country. And this year, in order to fight pandemic poverty, we're asking America to contribute $175 million because we want to make sure that the pot keeps boiling.
Now, people who go by may wonder, does it really help? Does a dollar help? Does $5 help? Do the kids who put, and I've been at a kettle with you, and they put 50 cents in. Does it really help, Ken Hodder?
It does help. 82 cents of every dollar will go directly to the people who need it in an individual's own community. The Salvation Army is in every zip code across the country, Hugh, and we have 7,600 locations. And so the money that's given locally stays local, and it goes right to help those who need it most. And, you know, when you think about that little child who puts in 50 cents, don't think just of the 50 cents. Think about what it does in the heart of that child. That child will learn the value of giving, the importance of giving. And when he or she grows to adulthood, they'll have a sense of the role that they play in helping their neighbors.
Now, I want to emphasize as well, you don't have to be a member of the Army to help ring the bell, right? You can be a volunteer bell ringer like I will be this week.
Absolutely. We need people to come and volunteer and be bell ringers this year. Please contact your local Salvation Army. Tell them that you're available, because right now we need to make sure that we have kettles on every street corner and in front of every store across the nation. We've got some wonderful corporate partners that are helping us to do this. But one thing we need more than anything else is willing volunteers. And our experience has always been that a smiling volunteer is a tremendous boost to the fundraising at any kettle.
Commander Ken Hodder, the Army is online now. You change with the times. And yes. Some people are not going out still. They're medically fragile. They're afraid of the virus. And there are good reasons to do that. What do you tell people about the online campaign?
There are all sorts of ways that people can help the Salvation Army, even at the kettle, Hugh. If they don't want to deal with cash, they can bump the sign. There's a QR code. You can give through Google Pay and Apple Pay and Venmo and PayPal. If people want to go online, they can go to SalvationArmyUSA.org. They can also give Bitcoin or Ethereum. They can say, Alexa, make a donation to the Salvation Army. There are all kinds of ways electronically that people can use to stay safe but still contribute to this important work.
Ken Hodder, you and Jolene are two of the most inspiring people that Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I know. And we appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate your coming on the show. Thank you. Thank you for all you do for the people who need it the most, doing the most good in the United States. Ken Hodder, thank you. Commander Ken Hodder of the Salvation Army, go to that red kettle on your street. Go online. Help them help the lost and the least, and do it Matthew 25:40 style. I'll be right back. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega. Temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains. Temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains. And you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Love Actually, one of my favorite Christmas movies, and this is the song from it. I swear my grandson looks like the kid in that movie. I'm joined by Josh Kroshauer of Hotline Josh fame on Twitter, National Journal. Good morning, Josh. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Good morning, Hugh. Yeah, we go to your neck of the woods in Cleveland, every Thanksgiving with the in-laws. So it was a very good time with family, good time after spending last year back at home. So good to have
you. I'm glad. How was the drive on the PA Turnpike?
We left a day early. We left Saturday, so we avoided the inevitable Sunday.
Good for you. Smart choice. Yeah. I got to tell you, it was a grim Sunday in Ohio for football fans. Ohio State going down, the Browns going down, my Warren Kennedy Eagles lost in the semifinals of the state. So grim, grim, grim football. Josh, but I did get the chance on Sunday to read through, I'm up to page 900 now, of the Build Back Better bill in the House. It's terrible. It is absurd. Have you read it yet?
Yeah, I've read the highlights of what's in it. Now, you know, once it gets through the Senate, if it gets through the Senate, it's going to look a lot different. It's going to be pared back pretty significantly, I would imagine. But you're right. There were a lot of extra goodies, extra provisions, extra things that would not pass muster just so it could get passed in the House. You know, you need to get progressives and moderates to vote for it. That was a big problem for weeks and weeks. So they passed what essentially is a bill that's not ready for prime time, and it's going to go through the Senate to get changed and altered, and we'll see if that version ends up passing.
They are shotgunning billions of dollars every which direction, and this is a pared-down version, but I've got a column in the Washington Post this morning on the $3 billion for tree equity. Tree equity was invented by American Forest, a great conservation group, 2 years ago. They take credit for coining the term. And in 2 years, it's getting $3 billion. Are we nuts?
Yeah, it does seem like the word equity is used in front of everything or to describe everything these days, even if it doesn't really make a lot of sense or doesn't really relate to any sensible policy. But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of this Build Back Better legislation in the House is going to contain a lot of money that doesn't make a whole. I mean, it's not a lot of this money may not last through any alterations of the bill in the Senate. Joe Manchin is going to slice a lot of that money if it has any chance of passing through the upper chamber.
And Joe Manchin is an old-fashioned governor, and he knows that money is most effectively spent by states and local government. This federalizes so much. I wonder if he's going to insist that they block grant these funds, at least the housing, the homeless money. I think it's $122 billion. They're just giving it the HUD. They're creating new departments at the worst agency in government.
Yeah, I actually think that when it comes to child care, the pre-K section, which is really the heart and soul of the legislation, there are a lot of like hidden provisions that are even getting some liberals a little antsy about what it could mean for average families with young kids. You know, you mentioned federalizing the whole daycare system. I mean, there's a lot of unintended consequences that could come as a result of that. There were some pretty smart columns actually in the New York Times over the last week showing some of those unintended consequences. For example, churches and synagogues may not be able to, you know, have people attend their daycares because it has a religious component to it. And that's in the House version of the Build Back Better bill. There's been a lot of complaints from religious organizations wondering if the benefits extend to those daycares at religious institutions. So, you know, that's one example of many that I think people haven't looked at the bill closely enough. They haven't examined the consequences of the legislation, and we've just been kind of stuck on these talking points when there's really a lot of policy implications as a result.
Oh, the failure of journalism is complete with this bill. But I do want to go back to the fact it's so long. The Neil Kinnock Labor Party, I think it was in 1988, published a manifesto that one wit in Great Britain called the longest suicide note in history. This is going to replace that. And I'm kind of torn. It's a terrible expansion of government. It's an assault on structural federalism. But it will destroy the Democratic Party if it passes. It's a socialist sort of Blade Runner world that they envision. And America isn't going to like this.
Yeah, I mean, look, there was a story in the Washington Post today talking about how in focus groups and polling that the Democrats have done, the biggest concern for voters are about jobs, about inflation, about the, you know, about making sure they can get Christmas gifts for their family. The challenge politically, I don't think people are really paying attention to all the details in the bill. I do think there will be, like you note, a lot of unintended consequences as a result. But I think the bigger problem is that there are a lot of concerns that voters are saying, telling their elected officials they want addressed. And this bill was designed before the inflationary acceleration, was before the supply chain crisis. So they're dealing with issues that really are not as resonant with your average voter. In fact, the study that Democrats put out, according to the Washington Post, said specifically that social spending is a turnoff to a lot of these swing voters, and that's essentially what this bill does. A lot of social spending programs that are funded through this.
I think it's Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi's bid for a footnote in history, and that footnote will end up being about inflation. Hotline Josh on Twitter. You really ought to see following Josh Krosshauer because he's fair, he's objective, he's thorough. He's a great guest. Thank you, Josh. Happy Thanksgiving. Glad you had safe travel. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Ben, newly married Ben. And thank you, Generalissimo. Congratulations to all three of you for getting back from your Thanksgiving wanderings. We'll be back again tomorrow live from the Beltway on the next Hugh Hewitt Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.